This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. This is the Escape Hour. We are the food and travel show. We tune in with you guys every week at 1 o'clock and we absolutely love it. So you're here for a bit of travel as we speak. On the panel today, I have the lovely, the gorgeous, the ever effervescent, sexy and beautiful Fiona Brooke. How are you today, my friend?
I'm super, thanks, Russ. Absolutely. All the better now I've had that lovely introduction.
Well, and quite deserved, I will say.
Oh, that's too kind on a Saturday morning.
Now, what are you wearing today?
I'm wearing this spunky little necklace I bought in Ubud.
I love it.
Well, pretty good for $20, yeah. I thought. A little bit of colour never goes astray on a... Oh, it's not a grey day. Actually, it's a sunny day. Surprise, surprise. Right. After this miserable week, we will be all thinking and fantasising about where we need to go to get out of this winter.
It was a bit rainy this week, wasn't it? I was a bit disturbed when I saw the rain was, you know, flying down at a horizontal and I thought, oh, I've got to get out of here.
Miserable. Absolutely.
But how was your week?
It was busy. Let me think. I did do something social. Yes, I went to the launch of the new forum.
Oh, right.
Now, what's happened at the forum? They have actually done this incredible renovation of the interior of the forum. So you can't go and stand up on the scuzzy booths, and they've stripped back all the carpet and they've revealed the beautiful marble staircases and they've done a stunning renovation. So that was rather fun.
And I like this forum.
Oh, it's such a great venue. It's my favourite venue to see live music.
The last time I was at the forum, I think I was there for the Prisoner 30th anniversary.
A Prisoner, as in the TV show?
Remember the TV show Prisoner?
Really?
Yep, they did.
I remember it. In fact, it's terrible. Sometimes that horrible theme song gets stuck in my head and I get all depressed and I start to cry. It's awful.
To bring me roses.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
And it was quite exciting because I saw B. Smith there and, you know, they were all there. Lizzie was there. Wow. Doreen was there. It was fantastic.
Have you watched the American version that they made?
No, I don't like it. But what about the new Australian version?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's very good.
No, I don't know. I think that if, you know, you just talk about prison and the first thing I think about is thinking about escaping.
Oh, well, you see, you talk about prison to me and I go off into fantasy world. Anyway, enough of that. Let's talk more about where our offsider is today. Tad Lombardo's not here today because he's moving to the top of town. He's become a bit of a toff, hasn't he?
Oh, look, I think he deserves to be a toff.
Yeah.
He's worked so hard in the gym.
That's
I don't
right.
know what that deserves you, but...
He's looking fabulous.
He's looking fabulous in his moving house and he'll be... he's got a fabulous new apartment, I hear, and it's got a swimming pool and a gymnasium and, you know...
What more could a gay man want?
Absolutely nothing. And it's at the top end of Chapel Street, so...
He's got his gay digs now. He'll be, you know, hustling himself around South Yarra. He's got a business in South Yarra, Paran.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a brand new place to live in. It looks stunning. We can't wait for our invite over, Tad.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, we're expecting
If you're listening, Tad, we're looking forward to the cocktail party.
Oh, yes.
On your balcony.
Oh, won't that be nice?
That would be very nice. Absolutely.
You know what's been happening this week in travel? There are rumblings everywhere, Fee.
Mm.
Absolutely everywhere.
Really?
It's early bird season. And we are literally a week off early bird season. So for any of you
who
travellers,
don't know really, I mean, what to do with early bird season. I mean, don't you start hyperventilating because you can't decide where you want to go first?
Exactly. You just go absolutely crazy because all of the airlines at this time of the year start to discount their airfares for 2018. So if you're travelling overseas from the 1st of April next year right through until the 31st of October, you are going to see the airlines plunge down with their prices over the next month. I know South African Airways is already on sale and I know Finnair are already on sale. And the big airlines will follow suit. So if you're planning a trip in 2018, go and see your local travel agent because travel agents are the only way to go. They're the experts.
Right.
And go and
absolutely.
Book your trip for next year. You'll see the Americas on sale. You'll see the Europe on sale, which is a big hotspot, and the Middle East. will be on sale as well.
We'll be talking more about the Middle East very soon.
Which is going to be very exciting. Have you ever been to Beirut?
No. Oh. My sister was living in Dubai for many years and I was living in New York, and we always made a vow that we were going to go and meet in Beirut and party together. But then something happened and she moved back to Australia, and then I moved back to Australia and we never made it there. But I have full intention of going. Have you been?
I haven't been, so I can't wait to introduce our guests for today. But what I've heard about Beirut just makes me quiver. I can't believe it's the party capital of the Middle East. I mean, if that's not enough to make you want to go there, what is?
That is definitely enough to make me want to go there. I just love the idea.
Should we say hello to our...
Oh, yes, we should. We're trying to keep it a big secret. So in the studio with us today is Mazen Hajar, who is from Beirut. He is the founder of Hawker's Beer, which is an amazing craft beer brewery in Reza, our famous reservoir here in Melbourne. And Mazen is here to tell us all about craft beer and also all about living and travelling in Lebanon and Beirut specifically. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Wow, we're going to have a lot of fun today. Just hearing about the party scene, it's just got us all excited.
I've become the party ambassador of Lebanon, haven't I?
Well, you know, you were a good salesman for Lebanon before we got you on the show today. We were very excited about hearing all about Beirut and Lebanon and where you can go. So for our listeners who have just tuned in and want to know where... Lebanon and Beirut are, where are we geographically?
So geographically, the neighborhood is a bit crap. So it's right next door to the civil war in Syria and right next door to Israel, which is, you know, right next door to Gaza as well. So all the flare-ups, all the nice party areas. Lebanon's been, it was famous for a long time, had a bad reputation because of the civil war, but that ended in 1991. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's gone through a lot of reconstruction, and it's kind of taken back part of its glory. And the Lebanese are definitely party people. So geographically, you're somewhere, but you're exactly between Syria and Israel on one side, and the Mediterranean Sea on the other, right off the coast of Cyprus, if that kind of... geographically puts us.
So everyone's heard the word Syria and everyone's heard the word Beirut, and we're going to knock this on its head straight
away.
Yeah,
we're myth-busting.
How safe is it there?
Oh, totally. Which is why Lebanon... So Lebanon geographically is the size of Melbourne. It's 10,000 square kilometres.
Wow.
10,500 square kilometres. Melbourne's 9,000 something. Mm. And it's got 4.5 million people. Melbourne's got 4.5 million people. Except we have 2 million Syrian refugees, 400,000 Palestinian refugees. So Lebanon per capita has the highest number of refugees. And guess what? It's okay.
So are they seen as the good guys then, because they've taken all the refugees from Syria and
everyone sings the praise of Lebanon. No one puts their hand in their pocket to help out.
Right. You're the good guys, but it'd be nice if somebody gave you some money for
exactly.
Out, right.
We're just hosting everyone at our own expense. But anyway, but that's what you do when you're a good neighbor. And it's the only safe, stable country in the region.
Yes.
I mean, we had a bit of skirmishes on the border. A lot of people may have heard the word ISIS before, and so the Lebanese army last week completed kicking ISIS completely out of the region.
Right.
That is great news.
Yeah. So it's quite an achievement for the country. Cost us a few of our soldiers, and the country is in national mourning for the dead soldiers, but we finally kicked out ISIS out of the whole region.
Wow. Well done.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And we are back today at the Escape Hour. We're having our feathers fluffed and we're talking to Mazen Hajar from Hawker's Brewery Beer in Reservoir. And he's here to tell us all about Beirut.
Mazen, that's an interesting name. Does it mean something?
It does actually mean light rain.
Light rain, okay.
It's an old Arabic word for light rain, which is supposed to be a special thing if you lived in the desert.
Light rain? Okay. Light rain's much nicer than heavy
drizzle,
rain.
Drizzle, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of refreshing, which is ironic because Lebanon does not have a desert.
Right. It doesn't, because it's on the Mediterranean.
Exactly. Yeah, we have ski season.
What are those beaches like there?
Oh, brilliant. I mean, Lebanon is a very condensed microcosmos, so you can basically be at the beach during spring and or during fall and be up in the mountains skiing within 40 minutes drive.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it's a very tolerant society because of the fact that it had a lot of mountainous areas. So historically, any oppressed population would run and hide in the mountains. So Lebanon is probably the most religiously diverse in the region. Mm-hmm. It's got 18 religions and a whole bunch of us atheists as well. and it's quite diverse. It goes up really high, up to 3,000, I think, meters is the highest peak. Mm-hmm. So there's mm-hmm. quite good skiing there. Ah. Mm-hmm. It's quite rich in water. Which pisses off the tourists a lot because they can't find any camels or any desert.
Wow. Well, I mean, surely there's plenty of places you can go for desert, but they still come to Lebanon looking for desert.
Well, they kind of come to Lebanon expecting to be in the Middle East, and it's not really. It's a Mediterranean country with a touch of Middle East flavor.
Ah,
so the Lebanese government had to import camels from Australia for the tourists to come out and sit on them and take a picture.
I think that you've just
that's
painted
a obligatory when you go to the Middle East, isn't it, to have your photo taken with a camel?
It seems very crazy, and a camel driver. I think that you've just painted a really nice picture there, though, because you refer to it as being mostly a Mediterranean environment, which is fantastic. And then that sets in people's minds places like beaches and, you know, all of that wonderful atmosphere and sort of, you know, warmth. So in Lebanon, you can wear a bikini on the beach?
You can wear a bikini, you can wear a burkini. It doesn't really matter. You can wear whatever you want in Lebanon. And there are people who are conservative Muslims on one end, conservative Christians on one end, mm-hmm. and atheists on the other. Mm-hmm. And everyone lives and let's live. So contrary to the rest of the Middle East, for example, in Ramadan, there are no restrictions on drinking alcohol or eating food or walking down the street smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very tolerant place. You can basically, unless you're doing something criminal, mm-hmm. you can basically get away with doing whatever the hell you want.
We were talking off air before about the recent court ruling for the LGBTI community, and it's making sure that everyone is very tolerant and that there's, I mean, I'm not sure what's the situation with same-sex marriage there, but you were saying before that it's extremely tolerant of all types.
It is very tolerant. I mean, bear in mind, this is relative to the rest of the Middle East, of course.
Yes.
So if we set it against, you know, Western standards, it may be less tolerant than Western mm-hmm. standards. It's not an ideal place in terms of tolerance from a legal perspective, but it's certainly, there's a big community that is quite active mm-hmm. politically and that is campaigning to get equality and get recognition. So Lebanon has historically, is one of the oldest countries on earth, right?
Mm.
So the oldest continuously inhabited city on earth is Byblos, which mm-hmm. is in Lebanon. Four of the top, of the oldest 10 cities in the world are in Lebanon. So it's a very, very old historical country that's had Greeks, Romans, Muslims, mm. Ottomans, mm. Also Phoenicians, also French influences were trilingual. And so that kind of mix and cultural mix and linguistic mix has meant that we're very tolerant.
Mm.
The constitution in Lebanon was written to safeguard religious freedom and freedom mm. of speech, which recently has been extended slightly, in the sense that there was one of the municipal polices were doing, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this, but virginity tests to try and single out homosexuals in Lebanon. And the
they have that here, but it's not done by the police. If you know what I mean. Anyway, back to your story. Sorry about that. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
So there was a campaign basically to take the police to court. And eventually the Supreme Court had ruled that there was nothing unnatural about homosexual sex, thereby indirectly legalizing homosexual sex. Now, if you're a member of the LGBT community, it's very common in Lebanon. Mm. You can basically openly be gay or mm. whatever you want to be in Lebanon. Mm. As long as you do it within sort of a reason. Like mm. you can't go into a mosque with a bikini. Mm. You can't go into a conservative neighborhood mm. and be that. I mean, as long as you've got your wits about you, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just don't. It's not never good to travel with the dumb hat on, and you really need to do a bit of homework before you go anywhere to make sure what is acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
I remember a huge influx of Lebanese immigrants coming to Australia in the 80s, and we had a big Lebanese community at our high school down in Geelong and loved it. And it was just, as young kids, it was just really interesting to learn about a different culture, and they were just amazing. I can remember going over to a school friend's house and having dinner and having the most amazing food that I'd never tasted in my life, because we were traditionally the bangers and mash and the
meat and three veg.
That's right, and a couple of
trifle for dessert.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, it was the '70s. Remember that?
Maybe custard.
And then taking your saucepan down to the local Chinese shop and throwing some sweet and sour pork in there and going home with it. So this was the olden days, mind you. But I couldn't believe how beautiful the Lebanese food was. And this was going back 30 years ago, where no one in Australia had even heard of Lebanon.
But that's the second wave of immigrants. The first wave of immigrants came way, way earlier, They actually were some of the earliest settlers back in Australia.
Right.
And the reason we called our beer hawkers was basically in kind of a tipping our hat to the original settlers that came from Greece, Italy, Lebanon, who were hawkers and street vendors.
Yes.
So that's the second big wave of Lebanese immigration. We've had Lebanese here since the early days. And in fact, if you cross over the Yarra Bridge and you see that monument to those plankards to all the different countries, you'll see the first immigrants. There's a lot of us around the world. There's 4.5 million in Lebanon. There's 18 million outside of Lebanon. We've got 7 million in Brazil.
Well, you're very welcome here, I will say that.
Well, thank you very much.
So food, this is Joy FM's food show, 94.9. So
that's right. We haven't really even broached on dishes.
Yeah.
Your favourite dish, Mazen, what do you like most from the Lebanese cuisine?
My God. Lebanese cuisine is so varied. Mm. It is insanely varied. It's scary how varied it is. And that's partially because it's such a fertile country. It's called the Fertile Crescent, right?
Mm.
And during the big famines in the Middle East, Lebanon was providing food for all the neighborhood and all the neighboring countries. So Lebanese cuisine, although it's a very small country, you say something like kibbeh, which is basically a minced meat, and burghul.
Mm.
There are maybe 50 different regional types of kibbeh.
Mm-hmm.
What gets to me a bit about Lebanese food is it's spread across the world.
Mm-hmm.
But what people recognize as Lebanese is hummus, tabbouleh, and kebabs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Lebanese fast food.
What about shawarma?
But that's Lebanese fast food as well. We eat a hell of a lot of stews, salads. Lebanese food is really healthy in the sense it's very much vegetable-based.
Yep.
Meat is a small part of the stew. We don't have the culture of having steaks.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite Lebanese dish is mlouhiyeh. Now, this is the cousin of spinach. The English terminology for it is jousmelo. It's only really cooked in Lebanon, Egypt, and Palestine. And the Lebanese version is my favorite version of the dish. It's this green spinachy with meat and chicken on a bed of rice.
See, I just can't stand doing this show because every week I sit here and my mouth starts watering about 5 minutes into the food segment. I think, God, I'm hungry, and that dish sounds perfect.
That dish does sound pretty incredible. I'm always thinking, where is the nearest, for example, right now, Lebanese restaurant where I can get some decent, yummy Lebanese food?
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
The world's most uplifting radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is the Escape Hour. Fiona and Russ, Tad is away today moving house. We have our guest Mazen with us from Hawker's Beer. How are you, Mazen? Thanks for coming along.
Thank you for having me.
Can you explain a little bit about what we were just listening to?
Well, they're a Lebanese band. They're actually probably the most famous Lebanese band called Mashrua Layla. Mashrua Layla in Arabic means the project of a night. So the name of the band, the whole band was actually created over a long, they were working at for a university project overnighting, and that's when the idea for the band came. The reason why I'm crazy about this band is basically they are very socially active. They are openly gay, which in the Middle East is quite something.
Wow, yep.
And they have engaged from the very first songs that they did with a lot of social issues about domestic violence, anti-homophobia, anti-male chauvinism, a lot of those issues. And it's caused a lot of discomfort in the neighboring countries. I mean, Lebanon is, again, more tolerant than the rest of the Middle East. Not ideal, not perfect, but certainly a better place to be if you're going to be in the Middle East. And these guys have been banned from multiple countries. They're very, very active. They were opening. They were the opening act for the Red Hot Chili Peppers tour in the Middle East.
So they've been banned from multiple Middle Eastern countries.
Yes.
So how does he go when he goes home to Lebanon? Obviously, it's not an issue being gay there.
Yeah.
But is it hard for him in the Middle East? Obviously, there's places that he can't tour to now. And
yeah, and it's funny because a lot of governments had to eat a big humble pie because some minister would go out and ban them, and then the BBC would pick up the news that, you know, Jordan banned them at some point. And they had to then overturn the ban because there was such a huge influx. I mean, these guys pack stadiums.
So you mentioned that you know that this particular band. Are you going to get them to come out to Australia?
I will certainly suggest it to the boys, definitely.
They should definitely come out and they can have a Hawker's Beer rider. That would be pretty cool.
Definitely. I mean, they're really great guys. I know them from the very early days, and they've really put a lot of social issues on. I mean, one of their songs talks, their very early songs, I think their first hit talks about domestic violence issues and uses the basis for a remix, one of the children's songs, Ammi Bou Mas'oud, and actually turns it into, Ammi Bou Mas'oud in English means my uncle, the father of Mas'oud. And it's a kid's song about my uncle. It turns it into my uncle being a loser, unable to earn a living and having to abuse his wife just to make himself feel better. And it really caused a stir, and that's where it all started. So I really like these guys.
What do people in Lebanon do for fun? So you talk about Beirut being the fashion capital, and everyone dresses up and gets all chic to go shopping. And what would one do on a weekend?
Plus, we design a lot of good clothes. Elie Saab, I mean, most of the Oscars, I think, like there were 15 dresses or this year in the Oscars by Lebanese designers.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Quite big. Zuhair Mrad, Elie Saab, Rabia Kairouz, a lot of the big designers.
We should get them out here for the Logies.
Yeah, well, it's on the Gold Coast now, so, you know, I couldn't think of a better place to have it, quite frankly. Lebanon.
So we dress well. We party hard.
You do.
We party very, very hard, and we eat really well.
So if someone arrives in Beirut, is there a particular neighbourhood that you would recommend that they visit for, you know, all of that great cultural sort of atmosphere?
There's quite a few neighbourhoods, actually. Marem Khayil is quite famous for the nightlife. There's a whole series of pubs and restaurants down there. Badaru is excellent. Hamra is the old neighbourhood in the centre of West Beirut. There's quite a few neighborhoods. And then if you venture out, you'll get to see a lot of really great sites. There's a lot of history. I mean, you can hardly dig a hole in Beirut and not find the history there.
So it's a great cultural destination if you're a big history buff.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, I was reading about that yesterday when we were doing our homework, and the museums, the top five museums look absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Baalbek, which is maybe an hour and a half's drive away from Beirut, used to be the Roman religious capital. So it has the biggest freestanding Roman temple in the world, bigger than the Acropolis in Athens.
Is that so?
Much, much bigger. So it's quite interesting. And they have, during the summers, they have festivals in Baalbek and in Byblos, in the old city citadel, so the oldest city. People like Elton John and Massive Attack play in this old Roman temple open space.
Wow.
It's really impressive.
That sounds pretty exciting, actually.
It really is impressive.
What's your favorite museum there?
The National Museum, I think. Yes. It's a much smaller one, but I think it has a lot of history. It has some really great pieces from Phoenician times. Yep. Remember, the Lebanese originally have a Phoenician heritage, and we invented the alphabet in clear glass, and we invented beer. Beer was invented...
You invented beer?
15,000 BC. That's quite a long time ago.
I knew there was a reason why Australians love the Lebanese so much.
So basically, brewing beer is literally in your blood.
And wine.
And well, we certainly know that Lebanon has a fantastic wine industry, yeah. Red wine. I remember when I was in Damascus, we drank the local bottle shop there dry of Lebanese wine,
yeah.
And it was just so delicious. Okay, so I went with a whole bunch of alcoholics. Maybe that was part of the reason, but the Lebanese wine scene. But there was no craft beer at all. I mean, you started the first craft beer brewery, though.
Yeah, I mean, Heineken had the monopoly of beer in Lebanon for 85 years until I came along and said, enough of this light fizzy crap. In 2006, which was exactly at the time, the last battle between Israel and Hezbollah, as they were bombing each other, I just decided to make some beer.
Ah.
So that's where the craft beer came from.
So you just need those lightning bolt moments.
You do.
I've had enough of this. I'm going to brew some beer.
That's right. Good idea.
Now they have the 6 craft breweries, which in a small country that doesn't really have a beer culture. Mm. The last one opened last week. It's called Brew Inc. And it was opened by the guy who started, who was our head of operations at 961 Beer when I was back in Lebanon. So he's opened his own thing, and I wish him really great luck. The guy is an awesome dude. And it's in Badaru, in the area that I recommended.
So you started with 961 Beer. You then came to Australia to open Hawkers. I mean, that's a kind of like a crazy move. Why would you move to... I mean, I know that Melbourne is the craft beer capital of Australia, but maybe you can give us a rationale about why you decided to do that.
I was, so 961 Beer, we started in 2006. By the time I left 961 Beer, which was about 3.5 years ago when I came to Melbourne, we had been exporting to 26 different countries. One of them was Australia. I had come out several times and fell in love with the country. Mm-hmm. And then the idea started kicking around between me and my ex-business partner about, well, what if there's another war in the region? What do we do? Let's brew here. And that's where the idea came from. Mm-hmm. And the name Hawkers came from the fact that we were hawking beer in Sydney, literally. And there was a joke, we've gone back to our roots. And in Lebanon, we've never heard of hawkers. I don't know the word until I came here. Mm-hmm. And so when I moved out, that was exactly what we called the brewery, and that's how it all started. Why Melbourne? I fell in love with Australia, but specifically Melbourne. There's this something that... when I land in Melbourne these days, I feel like I'm coming home, and that's something amazing.
Mm. Yep, that is extraordinary.
I think we're very real here. If you're going to move to Australia, Melbourne, you know, we're very real in Melbourne. We're very friendly, and, you know, I think it's a great place to call home.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that there could be a little bit of a challenge trying to break in Melbourne.
We're very clicky too.
We're a bit clicky too, bit, and yes, we wear a lot of black. So all those things are exactly true, but...
And we like beer.
Well, we like beer, and I think that Marzen would have had no problem making friends if he said he was going to brew craft beer.
It was despite my crappy personality, people liked me because of the beer.
Well, it's a good way to get to know somebody, isn't it?
It's amazing how far beer will take you in social circles.
Yes, very far in this town, that's for sure.
For travellers to Lebanon, I think the questions that people would often ask in travel would be, is it safe to go there? And we've established that that ISIS is now not in Lebanon at all. What's the story with arriving? Is it visa on arrival, Australians don't need a visa, and you just arrive
get it at the airport when you come in. It's Airbnb, Uber, it's got McDonald's. It's, you know, if you really are uncomfortable, you'll find all the comforts of every other international city out there.
Yes.
But if you're a bit adventurous, there's a lot of culture in Lebanon.
Yeah. Well, here it's just, excuse the terminology, but there's people everywhere and batshit crazy. It just sounds, it sounds like a wonderful city to visit and explore. You're, you know, your culture shock is going to be in your face as soon as you arrive. Which
and
is,
it is. It yes. is exactly that. It, yeah. It's very condensed because Lebanon, despite being the size of Melbourne, only 15% of the land area is actually livable.
Right.
So Beirut is a city of skyscrapers. Mm. Mm. Not as much as Dubai in the artificial sense. So it's a city that grew out of a lot of chaos. There's a lot of chaos. Public transport's pretty crap. But it's a lot of fun if you're into that kind of thing. And the food is phenomenal.
Divine, yeah.
I mean, Melbourne has great food. Beirut has great food. Mm. So that's one thing I didn't miss when I moved to Melbourne, right? The food is awesome here as well as there. But the nightlife is crazy. And if you're traveling to Lebanon, for God's sake, we don't do dinner at 6. We start dinner at 10 p.m. Because
wow,
by the time we finish, it's 1, and then you dance a bit till 5, and then you wake up the next morning and be in the office at 7, and like a complete dysfunctional person that you should be.
Well, you know, I did that when I was in my 20s, but I find now that I'm in my 50s, I've curbed that side of my life just a little bit, but I'm sure I could do that if I went to Lebanon.
You would do it if you're on holidays. You would definitely do it, for sure.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is the Escape Hour. You're here with Russ and Fiona and Marzen, and we're having a fabulous time learning all about Lebanon.
I really feel as though I've escaped to Lebanon today. I feel great
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. But we do have some messages. We just want to chat through these lovely people that have contacted us. Thank you. Interesting chat, guys, although I'm a bit tired of people calling out countries and cultures accepting simply because they don't outlaw same-sex intimacies any longer. That is certainly
It's true. I mean, you can still... I think every country has got laws that are extremely archaic, and you can include ours in there at the moment with what we're
That's
going
exactly
through with,
right.
with same-sex marriage. I think what we try to get across to people who listen to the Escape Hour is that it certainly is a safe place for members of our community to travel to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, but my view of it is, like I said before, Lebanon isn't by far not progressive enough when you compare it to the West, right? But if you compare it to the region it's in and the religious sensitivities around the area, it's certainly one of the most progressive countries by far.
Mm. And you mentioned too earlier that they hope to have their first gay pride march coming up. It was going to be this year, but hopefully it will happen in the years to come.
Yeah, they were planning the first gay pride march, or at least a massive conference, and then they got threats from the Islamic extremists, which was a few weeks before the Lebanese army took care of ISIS and beat them out.
Mm.
The problem is, again, it's one of the social issues that are coming out of the Middle East.
Mm.
We're fighting for equal rights. We're fighting for anti-discrimination. We're fighting against domestic violence. I mean, we just also... Even violence against women, we just, Lebanese parliament about 2 or 3 weeks ago, overturned an ancient archaic law that basically let a rapist off if he married his rape victim.
Oh.
So although we have domestic violence laws protecting women against domestic violence, there was that one loophole which no one had noticed because it was a law from the 1920s, which was overturned recently. It's never perfect. I'm not claiming Lebanon is a perfect place, but it's certainly more tolerant.
That's right. And we've had another message in from a listener who said, actually, to be clear, I think Israel's laws are more progressive in relation to LGBTI people rather than Lebanon's. And again, Zan's just saying that out of those many Arabic countries in the Middle East, that he feels as though that Lebanon is probably the more progressive out of all of them, which is the message today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about what Israel is doing in terms of the LGBT community, but Israel is not Arabic, and I'm referring to the Arabic countries.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly within the neighborhood of the Arab countries, we are by far one of the most tolerant and accepting of the LGBT community. Again, you know, it's degrees of... It's never perfect. And for me, any discrimination is evil, but it's the degrees of evil.
Mm.
And it's less, it's more acceptable, easier to get by. You're not going to be persecuted like you would in some conservative countries.
So I've just landed at Beirut Airport and I've got 48 hours. What should I do?
Avoid the taxis at the airport because they'll try and they'll harass you into getting into a taxi. Pre-book your taxi. You're in 48. That's funny you should mention that, because I actually met my previous business partner that we set up, and my best friend, who's the godfather of my son. I met him because he had bought the wallpaper navigator, what to do in Beirut for 24 hours.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
So it was exactly one of those. So you land in Beirut. If you're there for culture, there's a lot of it. I would advise you to try and spend a bit more time so that you can get out of Beirut, go to Byblos, go to Baalbek, go to Tripoli, go to Sidon, go to Tyre, go up to the Shouf, which is where I'm from, up in the mountains, where you have Beit Eddin, which is an old Ottoman castle. You can go to Deir al-Amar, which is a fantastic little, this is going to sound weird, but originally a Christian, still a Christian village in the middle of the mountains. Very, very beautiful. If you're there to party, just go rest, and then you're going to spend a long night partying away. We have a lot of open space, huge nightclubs. The One, Sky Bar, Garten, all the Uber House, all these crazy nightclubs. Mm-hmm. And if you're into food, just get lost.
What's the best time to be in Beirut, for example, and Lebanon from a weather perspective?
Spring is beautiful. Mm-hmm. The summer is beach season. Mm-hmm. The winter is ski season.
Any season?
I think avoid the really super hot August, September. I mean, super hot, 32 degrees, but there's a lot of humidity. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's just beautiful all year round. Mm-hmm. It's very moderate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's unlike Melbourne. Melbourne is moderate, but Melbourne is four seasons in one day. Mm-hmm. Lebanon has four distinct seasons.
And so, for example, when you're wandering around the old parts of the city, there's so many sort of cafes that you can wander in. I mean, it's just really going to be about exploring and experimenting and pointing at dishes and getting excited and drinking tea. And they do drink tea, like they're,
We drink tea and we drink coffee. We don't call it Turkish coffee, we call it Arabic coffee.
Arabic coffee, yeah.
And it's none of that weak stuff that comes out of Italy espresso. We get the real hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
It's if you're a coffee fanatic, that's where you extract all those intense flavors. Or maybe it's too intense for some people. But and we mix our coffee with cardamom as well. There's a lot of really great flavors around Lebanon. Mm. There's a lot of vegetables, a lot of raw stuff, meza. Mm. Our food culture is spread around a lot of small little dishes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's certainly some regional competition between the countries in the area on who makes the best tabbouleh and who makes the best hummus and who makes the best falafel. I think the Lebanese make the best.
Well, I mean, do you have a favorite restaurant, a Lebanese restaurant, when you're in Melbourne you like to go and eat at to get that taste of home?
I have a few that I like. Mm-hmm. Probably my favorite Lebanese-inspired food, because it's not traditional Lebanese, is Rumi on Ligon Street in Brunswick.
Yes.
Chef Joe Aboud makes excellent food.
I have been to Rumi. I think it's
spectacular. Mm-hmm. It's not what I would eat back home, because it's his own modern twist on the food, but I think that is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few. There's interestingly, I can't remember what the place is called, but it's a ful and hummus place. So it's very basic Lebanese food. We eat flava beans for breakfast with chickpeas mixed with chickpeas, and it's very, very basic. It's a poor man's breakfast.
Such a fan of fava beans.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
We are on the escape hour. We're coming to a close. Marzen, look, we just can't wait to get to visit Lebanon. I mean, when we get there, is there anything that, from a tips point of view that we should be really mindful? It could be anything that you could think of off the top of your head.
Just be smart about the areas you're in. Mm. Again, you are not, it's not a perfect environment in terms of safety. Mm-hmm. And it is safe to be there, just as long as you're aware of the local culture and you don't really take the piss. I mean, don't go put a Lebanese flag on your undies and flash them out in the street, right?
Well, that sounds like quite fun.
I've got my Cuban undies on today, so I do know what you mean. Those little undies with flags all over them. Fiona doesn't get it.
No, anyway. I'm shaking my head on that one. So for solo female travellers...
Yeah, no, if you're a female traveler, you're going to get looked after very well. I mean, there is a sense of safety.
Mm-hmm.
There is a bit of, you know, male inappropriate behavior in the sense of just being overly friendly, but it's not dangerous.
Yeah.
Right? It's never dangerous because people there are not actively violent towards, especially if you're a foreigner. They tend to take care of you and show you hospitality.
I mean, we've had a lot of conversations in this studio about traveling through the Middle East, and of course everyone acknowledges how warm and how incredibly friendly and people invite you into their homes. You go into a shop and they want you to have, you know, tea with them and conversation. And so it's always extremely welcoming. So I would imagine
it's never scary to have a flat tire alone in a dark neighborhood at 3 a.m. Someone will come out and help you.
Wow. Okay, that sounds good. Well, I don't plan to drive or change a flat tire when I'm...
We drive on the right side of the road, by the way.
Oh. And how do you get to Beirut? What's the fastest route to get there?
Any one of the Middle Eastern airlines.
Yes, of course.
So Etihad, Emirates, Qatar Airways. They all fly direct. I mean, Emirates has, I think, 4 direct flights a day into Beirut or something like crazy like that.
Fantastic. Best time of the year to travel there?
Depends what you want to do. I love the ski season. Genuinely love the ski season. I mean, we have a lot of really nice, cozy fireplace hotels and resorts up in the ski resorts. And in the ski season, you can visit the cedar forest, which is... we have trees that are thousands of years old. We love our trees. They're on the flag.
That's what I was going to say. It's on the flag.
Everyone asks if it's a Christmas tree. It's a cedar tree, for God's sake.
That is pretty funny. Some people will say the darndest things.
I'm heading overseas in a couple of weeks, and what I'd like to know is how people travel with minimum luggage. So I'm going away for 6 weeks, and I kind of thought I would love for once just to be able to do it with carry-on, but I just don't know how you do it.
I mean, I think that if you're going into a cooler climate, obviously it's a little bit more difficult, but I travel quite a lot with just carry-on.
Do you?
Yep. Even though I love a frock and I love, you know, shoes and all that sort of stuff, I just, when I'm traveling, totally limit it because I hate lugging around suitcases.
Yes.
Really, it's so annoying.
I have to agree,
annoying.
I do the same.
Yeah. You don't take your high heels.
I know. No, my high heels stay at home.
We were talking about dresses in the break, weren't we?
We were talking about dresses. But, you know, I think the thing is, I know that we're going to ask Marsden for his tips, but I'm telling you my tips, and that's just take less clothes. And if you really, really have to have something, you just don't need any more excuses. You just need to buy something you like.
Yes. Or use the laundry service, for God's sake.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah, and it wouldn't hurt you. You don't have to change your outfit every single day. It's not a fashion show after all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as long as you are smart about it and plan it properly, you don't really need much.
How often do you go back?
I try to go back every 3 months. So it's a long trip there. It's 21 hours to get there.
That is a long time to travel every 3 months.
Well, I mean, Australia is at the end of the world. I was on a flight to Hong Kong the other day, and halfway through the flight, I was like, oh, thank God we're halfway through the flight. Looked on the map, and we were still over Australia.
That is so true.
It's a big country.
What are your packing tips and what are your travel tips? So I always, the things that I always like to travel with, it's my big movie catch-up time. So I like to get on a plane, sit back and watch maybe 5 movies going over to Europe and 5 movies coming back. That's my thing. I also like to sit up the front of the plane instead of the back of the plane.
I hate the back of the plane.
I love the back of the plane.
Really? What's so good about the back of the plane?
Because everybody, once you land, everybody's pushing each other to get out. And you sit on the back and you just watch them do that. And then you can always walk into the galley and spread your legs, especially on long flights. So I'm a back of a plane kind of guy. We're never going to have an argument if we travel together.
No, that's good because I'll be at the front. What else do I like to do? I like to have headphones that so I can't hear what anyone else is.
So you take your own voice cancelling headphones?
Yes, I do. I like lots of sleepers to make myself sleep through the flight.
I did that once. I couldn't wake up.
You couldn't?
Jet lag killed me. I like to plan my sleep and try and push it out so that I minimize the jet lag on the way in and out.
Well, I used to be one of those youngins back in the day where, you know, I thought the party started as soon as I'd bought my duty free.
The party does start. That's when I start, as soon as I get to the airport and check my luggage.
Well, I'd always arrive at the destination in really bad shape.
Kindly, if you're traveling to Beirut, try and not arrive in a bad shape. Just remember, you are flying into the Middle East.
So these days I tend to drink a lot of water on the plane to make sure I do. Yep.
So when you're in Lebanon and they have Ramadan, it's still, you know, you can still get...
Yeah, and again, you can go out to nightclubs and pubs and whatever. Mm. Just don't get drunk in public during Ramadan, right? Don't go and get drunk and piss on a wall.
And for those our listeners who don't know what Ramadan is, I always find that quite interesting. It's really, you explain what Ramadan is, but it doesn't affect travellers in any way, no.
No, it's a holy month of fasting. Mm. In certain countries, they take it to be quite strict in the sense that they do not allow even foreigners to eat out in public in the streets. I mean, the restaurants will be open. They might ban the consumption of alcohol on the streets. In Lebanon, it's not. I mean, Lebanon is 60% Muslim, 40% Christian. Mm. It's always, our president is Christian. Mm. So it's always been a liberal country. We have vineyards. We have maybe 120 vineyards in Lebanon and maybe 10 breweries now in Lebanon. Mm. And we produce our own arak, which will put a hair on your back, on your chest, any time of the day. It's pretty interesting alcohol consumption country.
Can't be any less than ours, I'd say. You know,
no.
If I ever want to find Fiona, I just go to the Gin Palace. She's always there.
yes, I'm quite a regular. That is true.
Look, we've gone over time today, and it is time for us to say goodbye. We wanted to thank the guys at Our Garden before our show today. They did a great job with their show.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, Dean Beck's Word for Word, we can't put that show on today. If you are listening to listen to Dean, his pre-recording is available at the moment, so we're going to be playing some great music for the next 40 minutes until the next show comes on. And next week, Fee, who's on the show next week?
Oh, next week we are going to the Punjab.
Oh, I like a bit of India.
Absolutely.
Curry in a hurry. Love it.
We haven't explored much India on the program.
No.
We've done a lot of the Middle East, but not much of India.
It's a very spiritual destination, India.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we're looking forward to that. Thank you, Mazen.
Yes,
thank
you.
That was really hilarious and a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
We really enjoyed learning about Lebanon. It's on my list now, thanks to you. So
thank you.
It'll be great. You must come back and see us again.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.